This is episode 515 on the Hidden Why podcast, my solo show. Today I'm talking about depression. That's the thing about depression. A human being can survive almost anything as long as she sees the end in sight. But depression is so insidious and it compounds daily that it's impossible to ever see the end. The fog is like a cage without a key. That is a quote by Elizabeth Wurtzel. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hidden Wire podcast. How the heck are you? Hope you're well, guys. Thank you for tuning into this episode. This is my solo rant, and today I'm touching on a very serious topic, which is depression. Now, first, before we get into the show, let me just state that I am not a doctor. I'm not an expert on depression, but certainly I believe it's a really serious and important topic that we need to have a conversation around. And I'm one person that has experienced it to a lower level in my life, and I know people that have experienced it to a higher level, and I certainly know how it can have effect and impact on society as a whole, individually and as a whole, that makes it worthy of having a conversation around it. And that's really why I wanted to talk about it today. It recently came up in my life and I thought I'd just record a show on it and see where it takes us. Again, I'm not the expert. I'm not a doctor, so don't seek my advice as treatment. If you do suffer depression, just seek it as an awareness of it, as an ability to grow our understanding, to inspire other conversations to occur, not just this one on this podcast, but take it away and have conversations with people you know about it. That's really what I want this to do. It's certainly not a show to give advice on how to treat depression, although I might talk about certain areas that I think may be able to help. So, without further ado, let's get into the show. I'd also like to ask, before we get into the show, if you do enjoy this show, if you think it might be of benefit to someone you know, perhaps someone that is suffering depression or knows someone with depression, please share it with them. Share it out. Share the love. That'd be great. You can also jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and any of the episodes that you hear that you enjoy. You can leave your comments in the comments fields. You can reach me directly as well. So if you like the show and you want to leave a favorable comment, that'd be great. If you have some questions or suggestions for the show, reach out to me. If something I've said is rubbing you in the wrong way or is perhaps incorrect information, then let me know as well, because all the information that I regurgitate here or put out here is not necessarily right. It's not necessarily the only. So I certainly love feedback. I love to connect with the audience that listen to this show. So reach out to us at thehiddenwhy.com. You can there's a number of different ways you can reach me. Email, Facebook Messenger, preferably, and the other social media platforms as well, which I don't hang out on too often. So yeah, go for those first two options is probably best. While you're there, make sure you're subscribed to the Hidden Why podcast as well, so you can stay up to date with all the other episodes that are coming out week by week. So let's jump into this topic of depression. So it is a really important topic, quite serious, excuse me. There is over 5% of the world's population suffering with depression. I think it's around 315 million people. And the number seems to be rising based on some of the research articles that I've read in the last 10 years, or give or take. It's risen about 15%. Now, it does seem to be higher or increased rates of depression in certain areas around the globe. But for whatever the case, I think depression isn't something only relevant to a certain group of people. I think everyone can be prone to depression, perhaps some more than others. And that's why I think it's important for all of us to really create some understanding around this topic. Even for those that perhaps don't understand it, don't believe in it, or have never experienced it themselves or anyone else that they know experienced it, it's still important to be aware of this, because it's likely that someone in your life will suffer it. And if you're not aware of the condition, of how it affects that person, that individual, or how it might affect you, then you may not be aware of how best to tackle it yourself, or how to deal with it, how to manage it if there's someone else that you know. So it's really important. I mean, the stats say that 1 in 20 people will suffer depression throughout their lifetime. And if we go further than that, it is really, really deep. Like, it is, I've never had serious levels of depression or deep depression or chronic depression. I've certainly suffered depression. I've had a suicidal thought or two in my life. One quite recently, actually, that I'll share with you in this podcast. But the rates of suicide from depression, I think it's one of the leading causes of death. And certainly there was one statistic that I said that the teenagers between the ages of 15 and 19, it's the second most common cause of death in that age group. And that's huge. Yeah? I mean, that is a really troubling time. You're in a lot of turmoil and change between those ages. And I certainly remember the turmoil and the sufferings that I had in that confused state of being in that age. And it seems to be becoming harder and harder. And there's, you know, the stats show that there's a huge amount of people. I think it was around 800,000 people in that age group alone died in, I think it was 2015. That was a statistic from. So that's huge, and it's affecting more and more people, certainly even in the older age groups from 55 above to 73. Women seem to be slightly more prone to depression than men. However, it's only marginally higher. So, look, it does affect everyone. I don't think anyone's prone for it. So I just want to inspire and encourage you to take depression seriously and perhaps have the conversations with people you know. Just talk about it. Just, you know, if you don't know anything about it, I don't really know much about it, but I just want to talk about it. And if I think we can talk about it more, then we can understand it more, and then perhaps we can help tackle the issue on an individual and global level even better. Because it does affect our lives, it affects our economy, it affects our overall state of well-being and happiness. And if one person is affected with that, that has a ripple effect, and the society, the community, the tribe becomes infected as well. So it certainly ripples out. And I think if we see depression increasing, I think there's a sign that something inherently that we're doing in life as a society, as a global society, is perhaps not quite right. And that is my view on the world at the moment. I think there's a lot of things that aren't quite right. I think we're reaching a break point now, and a level of consciousness where we're becoming really aware that something inherently in the way we've designed our lifestyles is not working. It's not right. And I'm going to touch on that today, I think, throughout this conversation on depression. But I just see that. And I think if the numbers of depression are increasing, that's a really good sign that there is something wrong, and that we need to become more aware of it. And again, why in conversations like this, and I want to inspire you to go away and have conversations like this with others, are really important. We tend to overlook the suffering. We tend to overlook the painful sometimes because it is challenging. It's hard to deal with. It's hard to talk about. But if we don't talk about it, it's just going to increase. It's going to get worse. We're at a point it is now. Hopefully, the conscious state of humanity that I see out there, I'm positive, and it might sound negative, but I am very positive. I think we're reaching that point now that we're more and more really waking up to how things are at the moment. And I think it's going to get to a point where we really, more of us wake up, and then more of us start to make a movement towards really going, hey, what is this all about? What is this life experience all about? And really helping each other, helping others, helping spread more messages. I mean, there's so many ways that we can all do this, and we all deserve to do it. You know, we all have something to share, something that we're passionate about, something that can help others in some sort of way that I think will just help society move forward and really create a more pleasant society than the one that we've got now. That is just my thought. There is a podcast I recently listened to by Sam Harris on suffering, and he had a great conversation with this gentleman, which is a little bit over my head, but it was really beautiful. And this gentleman talked about suffering in life and said, you know, he believes it's wrong to bring in life to this world because you're going to bring them into a life of suffering, and that is morally perhaps not the right thing to be doing. I don't know if I entirely agree with his thoughts. It was an interesting conversation nonetheless. But look, I think there's so much beauty in this world. I think there's so much beauty in life itself. And I think, the things that cause us suffering that we can tackle together can help us remove a lot of that suffering. And if we can do that together, then hopefully bringing in more life is maybe not such a bad thing. And I think, you know, that's the intent of life itself is survival and reproduction. So I don't know if we want to avoid that. I think it's the natural process of life, and I think it's what keeps life interesting as well. But certainly we can tackle it, and we can tackle issues like depression. So let me talk about depression. My experience of depression is very personal. I have suffered. I think, you know, a lot of people say depression runs in the family, and perhaps that is the case. I'm not sure. I sort of don't agree with that. I don't really believe that. I believe that we can all suffer depression, and perhaps families that have depression within them have more understanding, more experience with it, and perhaps maybe more prone to it as well, but not necessarily that it's like that it's in their DNA. I really don't believe that, but again, I'm not the doctor, so I don't want to state that and be incorrect what I state, but I really believe that it's not inherent. It's not something that we're born with, that we're going to be depressed at some stage. I really think it's based on our conditions, our upbringing, and look, if depression's more common in that family line, then perhaps, yeah, we will be more affected by it in our lifetime. compared to a family that perhaps never has experienced it. And I've seen that in family groups, where there seems to be a line of members in the family that have never seen it, understood it, don't care for it, and they don't seem to have it commonly, whereas other families seem to be more prone by it. So I've experienced it. And more recently, actually, I mean, even in the last few years I've been doing this podcast, I had, a slight run of depression there. And I think we all go through this throughout life. And it's about continually stepping up and working through it. Now, again, I've never had the chronic type of depression, which can be really debilitating. But the one experience that I had, I remember I woke up one morning and I was just really, really down. And I just couldn't escape my head. I couldn't escape my thoughts, my mind. And they were just very negatively consuming and really degrading about who I was and what I was all about. And it gave me a sense of why even go on? This it just seems like pointless. It seems like unnecessary suffering. And it just seemed at that moment, I remembered, it seemed like it was never going to end. And fortunately enough, I have a level of awareness, and I did at the time, that I could sort of bring that into the game and I could help use that to overcome those consuming thoughts that were just really debilitating. I didn't want to get out of bed that day. And this level of awareness just helped me sort of push myself and say, no, this is, you know, it helped bring that positivity, I guess, to the game. And from there, I just, you know, I could have sat and wallowed in that sort of state and really allowed it to consume me. And as that starting quote says, depression seems to compound daily. And the more you're just being with it, the more it compounds and the more it debilitates. And for me, I just knew I had to snap out of it. I had to do something. And so I did. I got out of the house. That was the first thing I knew I had to do, is just escape that environment that I was in. And I did that. I got in the car and I went for a drive. And I think it was a public holiday, actually, so all the things were closed. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just had to get out of the house. So I just went for a drive. And then I thought I'd go for a swim. So I went to a pool. The pool was shut. And through that whole time, those consuming thoughts were just attacking me. And I just had to keep, you know, escaping the house. And so then I couldn't go for a swim, so I decided to just stop the car and I went for a big walk. And I just walked for, I don't know how long, it was probably an hour or so. I just went for this big walk, and that really helped clear the air for me. And still, at the end of that day, I just felt down and debilitated by this slight attack of depression that I had. But then after that, I didn't get to that point. And in that day, I did have a thought of, this is just ridiculous, this has just got to end, why go on? And I had that sort of suicidal thought, and it was scary. It was really scary for me because I thought, this is ridiculous. This is not me. But yeah, I think it affects everyone. And I think it can come just like that, instantaneously, unexpectedly, to anyone, even though you might think yourself immune to depression, it can really just reach you like that. And for unknown reasons, like why? Why did it hit me like that? I've got a few theories of my own that I'll share with you and talk through today. But certainly, once I got home and went to sleep that night, and it was hard to sort of go to sleep that night as well, but the next morning I woke up, I was definitely a little bit better off. And I can tell you now, if I didn't make the conscious choice to really take myself out of that environment that day, and if I just decided to stay in there and cancel everything and do nothing, the next day would have been a little bit worse, and it would have accumulated. So fortunately, I was aware enough to be able to do that. And I know people with chronic depression sometimes can't bring that to the game. So I think it's really important to just state that. I've never experienced that really deep depression that people go into. There was an article I read online. I might even be able to pull it up here. Just about some of the symptoms of depressions. That were really important, and it says here, there's a couple of here on this website, which is healthline.com. And guys, there's a lot of websites out there too, so if you're wondering what this is all about, go in there, read some stuff. If you have depression or think you might have depression yourself, go in there, do some Google searches, read. If there's someone that you know, go there, do the research, just read, because there's a lot of information out there that is worthy to help people on this extremely important topic. The first one is extreme irritability over minor things, anxiety and restlessness, anger management issues, loss of interest in favorite things, fixation on the past or things that have gone wrong, thoughts of death or suicide. Physical symptoms include insomnia or sleeping too much, debilitating fatigue, increased or decreased appetite, weight gain, weight loss, difficulty concentrating or making decisions, unexplained aches and pains. So there's some physical and mental sort of symptoms that may come with the depression. So if you've got any of those things or can relate to someone that might have those, that could be an indication that there's some depression going on there. Now, I know that depression is one of those things that people that have it find really difficult to talk about it because they feel that they're isolated and alone, and it somehow, by talking about it, might expose them or you know, it's vulnerable, I guess. And so a lot of people won't talk about it, you know, until it's that breakpoint, and it may be even too late sometimes. And so sometimes it takes this awareness for us as individuals to see that in other people. If they've got these symptoms, well, hey, look around and see. Perhaps they need to talk about it, and they just don't have the courage to talk with other people about it. And vice versa, those people that have it do take the courage to talk about it, because you're not alone, you're not isolated. And if you do have it, go out there and do some searches on the stats out there. You will find yourself not alone. There are a lot of people having it. And that might just give you a little bit of courage to go and explore it a little bit further and share it with some people that you know, that you're confident in, that you trust, and that you love. So there's some symptoms of it. Obviously, there's a bunch of different causes and factors that it can lead to, you know, like drug abuse, addiction, anger issues, trouble at work, school, whatever, isolation activities, so putting yourself into your own little world and removing yourself from social situations can certainly be it. Chronic fatigue and headaches and things like that can certainly come about it. There's a bunch of other things that can sort of certainly result from depression, obesity, etc., being some of them. So check it all out online anyway, have a read of it. And let me just go into perhaps how I think we maybe can deal with depression. And the first and foremost thing, and I think this is related to all life, is just a greater sense of awareness, a greater awareness of what depression is, how it works, how it affects us. And really, if you are suffering depression, then trying to bring some awareness to the forefront. There's a number of different ways we could do this, and for me, the best thing that I've done in my last few years is really bring into my practice, my daily practice, a mindfulness activity, so meditation. And that's basically where I sit and just really try and clear the mind. And it's a hard thing to do, but there's a lot of good apps out there that can help you, some free ones. I recently downloaded this cool one in Australia called Smiling Mind. So it's a free one, and it's a guided meditation, so it sort of steps you through the process, so you're not just there in silence in your own thoughts. It sort of gives you that guidance, which is sometimes necessary. So that's where I started. Now I just sit down there and just try and clear the mind and focus on breath, etc. So you can find there's much of that information online, and that's sometimes a good thing. Now, I don't know how that will work for someone in deeper depression. Perhaps if you do, let me know, connect with me online, let's have a conversation on this. But if you're in that depression, perhaps it's one of those things that's really hard to really do, is to just sit down and try and clear that mind, because that mind is so overpowering. So perhaps it does take a higher level of guidance, and that might not just be an app, that might actually be getting out there and seeking some professional help from someone, or even someone that you really trust and love, that you can just sit with and just explore the mind a little bit more in depth with them, and in doing so help clear the mind as well. I think awareness also comes from understanding and knowledge and information. And that really comes to me through just research, reading. There's so many books out there we can read. There's so much information online that we can read. So that's another way to bring awareness into the subject. And this subject is obviously depression. And the other way is just talking about it, having the conversations with people. I certainly think that helps as well. For me, and this is, again, hard, depending on the level of depression that you might suffer or that person might be suffering, is to take action, to do something. You know, the worst thing you can do is doing nothing, because when you do nothing, guess where you are? You're just in that mind. You're just trapped in that mind. And that mind is how it accumulates and how it grows and gets worse. And the mind is so powerful. So if we don't escape it, then we're just going to just let it, you know, let it rule, basically. And I find just taking action, any sort of action, does help. And that might just be getting up and washing some dishes. That might be, you know, doing some cleaning. I used to do some things sporadically, and I think this is why, but, you know, just like getting into just cleaning a house, and then I just get addicted into cleaning the house, because it just distracted my attention so much from the mind that it allows you to escape. So I think action is absolutely important. For me, on that particular day that I shared with you, you know, it was getting in that car and getting out of my environment. I think that was really important. And the next six areas that I really want to talk about And again, I'm touching on these very briefly, guys. There's a lot more depth in each of these, but I'm conscious of keeping this conversation purposeful and to a certain time frame limit, so you can actually take it away and create those own conversations yourself. There's six life principles. I think these are fundamental to all humans, the areas that we need to work within and focus on, and they form a part of the map that I've made up, which is called the Ultimate Life Map. It's a template or tool to help us guide our lives, guided by our own self-authenticity and autonomy to a life of deeper joy and happiness. So it's the Ultimate Life Map. You can check it out at the at my website, thehiddenwire.com, and I've also got a personal website that should be up and running by now as well. So you can check it out there. There's a some information online there that you can have a look at. But the six life principles that I talk about are health, growth, love, contribution, significance, and expression. So again, that's health, growth, love, contribution, significance, and expression. I think these six areas, I think if we can really harness these six areas, really develop healthy practice within each of these areas and really keep trying to work to improve in each of these areas, which is very hard, we can certainly create a level of freedom and fulfillment in our lives that will lead to a deeper sense of happiness. If we're not meeting these six areas, I think we can experience depression. And I think the less effectively we meet these areas and more broadly each of these areas, the higher our chances of falling into a deeper state of depression as well. So it can work in opposite ways. So if we're not meeting these six fundamental life principles, we can move towards depression. If we do meet them and we keep improving in them, we will move towards a deeper state of happiness, joy, or what Buddha might refer to as enlightenment. There's a great quote that I often use by Immanuel Kant. I came across him in some research that I was doing. He was an 18th century German philosopher, I believe. And he said, enlightenment is the freeing or the liberation from our self-incurred immaturity, which is really interesting. And that's really, just becoming mature and being guided by your own internal self rather than everything external, being your own guide to life. And I think that's what the Ultimate Life really helps people do. But look, these six principles, let's go through them. And I want to talk about the 12-step program by AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. I've never actually done that. And certainly I've battled with drinking. I've got certain issues around drinking that I've talked about in the past, and certainly it hasn't been a major problem in my life, but it's certainly caused a lot of problems in my life and certainly been something that I've struggled with personally. And perhaps that's because of this underlying depression that I certainly do struggle with from time to time, and that seems to be improving, and it all has been improving based on my journey and my transformation, which is really using this Ultimate Life Map. That's how that was developed, because I just thought about how have I started to really improve and shape my life in a more positive manner, in a direction that I wanted to travel in rather than the direction I was going in. And I started to really think about how it started to change and how it all formed together. And that's why I created this Ultimate Life Map tool, because that's what it's based on, my journey. So I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, the AA, they talk about what they refer to as HALT. And HALT stands for hunger, anger, loneliness, and tiredness, or tired, being tired. Now, those four things, yeah? So if you're hungry, if you're angry, if you're lonely, if you're tired, that might be reasons why you go into behaviors that are unconducive. And certainly if I look at, my drinking problems, yeah, when I was angry, or when I was tired, or when I was hungry, when I was feeling lonely, that's when I certainly seemed to, there used to be the fundamental triggers, I guess. And again, I'm not the expert in this because I've never been through the program. I don't really know that much on it. I've just spoken to some people on the podcast here that have talked about it to me in the past. And I think they're the triggers that sort of make you go towards those behaviors. So if you can look at those being the triggers, if you can try and avoid them, so by having, more rest is one thing. By making sure that you're well nourished is another thing. Anger issues, that might be just by, being able to express yourself more deeply and having good relationships. I'm not too sure. We'll explore those in these other six principles as well. And the other one, loneliness, relationships is really obviously important, and not isolating yourself, having that social connectivity. And that means beyond the online gaming world or beyond, Facebook, things like that. There's actually belly-to-belly, face-to-face connectivity with other humans is really important, or other life even is really important. So they talk about those principles, which sort of all incorporate in these six fundamental principles that I talk about as well. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, he sort of has his own little triangle that's probably the one that's most common to us and certainly one that I learnt at school. There's a bunch of different other ones that are out there as well, but this is one I've developed. And they talk about, again, health, growth, love, contribution, significance, and expression. I've talked about them in depth in other episodes as well, but let's just touch on them quickly and see how they might be able to help us. The first one is health. Health is absolutely fundamental, both your mental and physical health. If you don't have your health sorted out, if you're poisoned in some way, your health is going to deteriorate, and that's not going to affect. That's not going to help you really overcome depression on any level. So if your health, and again, you bring awareness to all these six factors, that's what it's all about. So health, you just have to start doing the awareness building, you know, practicing your ability to learn and increase your knowledge. You know, how can you improve your health? And again, you're not going to go from, poisoned health to really good health in one day. It's going to take some time, and it's still taking time for me. It takes time for everyone. But it's just becoming aware of that and bringing that to the forefront each day. You know, what am I doing today to help improve my health? And that might be around, you know, some exercise activities. Well, maybe doing 10 push-ups in the morning. It might be doing a half an hour jog. It might be doing an hour jog. Whatever it is for you, wherever you are at the moment, bring some health physical activities to the day. Movement is essential. Movement actually helps our cognitive ability. It helps us create greater thought processes that are more conducive to happiness rather than depression. So just by having that movement in your day-to-day activities as well. And then health, our mind. How can you really consume information that's healthy for your mind, not negative for your mind? And for me, you know, turning off the TV was a really big step because I used to watch news and shows that were just mind-numbing. So removing myself from that negativity stuff, it might be just switching off all your social medias or actually closing down your accounts, because that can be quite negative and debilitating as well. And the thing I think with social media is that it creates this level of comparison, and we're always jumping on there, seeing other people doing these awesome things, and we're comparing our own lives to that. And that can really be debilitating. So I think, you know, sometimes just being mindful of the things that are affecting you, and you can know that when you go, when you walk away from something and you just go, that doesn't make me feel right. Well, perhaps it's time to switch that off, or at least reduce it and slowly increase that reduction as well. So health is really important. Growth activities are absolutely essential. And I think, you need to go out there and really read more books. You need to jump online, do some research around the things that are bugging you. Focus on those areas that are making you feel down. Focus on those areas that you're struggling with. To really go into some growth activities, I think, you know, trying new things is really important as well. Don't just get into the habit of your current routine and lifestyle. Go out there and take the courage to just do different things and mix things up a little bit. That really helps stimulate the mind and the neural connections in the brain. By doing new things, you're actually helping build new neural connections. And I think one of the researchers that are coming out now is that saying that dementia, and that other word that I'm looking for, you'll fill the gap there, often come because we're not trying too many different things. So they're saying by trying more things, by having more hobbies, by it really opening up to new experiences, that can keep these neural connections building and increasing, and that's really healthy for the brain and the longevity of an able mind, I suppose. So really, growth activities is really important. Love, relationships. This is really important, and certainly with depression, you know, if you go into loneliness, if you isolate yourself, you do start to isolate yourself more because you think you're alone. You think if you talk about it, you're somehow going to be exposed or vulnerable. That's really where it boils down to. And I think social connectivity is really, really important. There was one study that was mentioned in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, that talked about an Italian community in America that had a longer life expectancy than many of the other communities, than all the other communities that were there. And they did some research and find out why. They thought it was nutrition, blah, blah, blah. And what they found is that it was actually just their social interactions and connectivity. They were living closer to each other than most other communities, and they were more in each other's face day to day, which we would find annoying these days, and that's really bad. I think we need to be in each other's face. I think we need to have that interaction. And it certainly showed in this research is that interaction helped them have a longer, healthier life as well. So relationships, really, I mean, it's just about going out there and making that belly-to-belly connection with other people, other humans, even life, animals, dogs are real good companies, things like that. Pets can help. And then just, you know, going out there, if you're really uncomfortable, maybe it's about getting someone that you know and trust to go with you, really just asking them. And I think that's really important in depression too, is just to be able to take that courage and ask people for help. So many people are out there and are ready and are willing to help you. I'm sure I can guarantee you that there are, but they won't just come up to you and ask, take you. You have to really, you know, take some initiative in that. And I know that can be hard, again, for those people that aren't in depression. You know, if you do see someone that you think might be suffering with depression, if they've got those symptoms, then go over to them and approach them, because it's likely that they want to, but they just don't have that courage to do so. So I think those three areas are really important, and that's where we should start. So health, growth, and relationships, and really making sure that every day we're somehow trying to move towards and bring more of that into our lives. The next three are sort of the enhancing principles, I call them, the expression, significance, and contribution. And I'll just start with expression. I think it's really important for us to be able to express ourselves. I think if we can't express ourselves, we are all fundamentally creative beings. And I read or listened to a show the other day that talked about this and said, it's not that some people are creative and some people are. We are all creative. And creativity is what has helped us evolve and helped us to advance as a human race to the level that we are. And that's really fundamentally down to expression. It's about having that creative process and being able to push it out and express it out of ourselves. And there's a bunch of different ways we can do this. And one of the most simplest ways is just by journaling. You know, when you're trapped within that mind, you don't really get the chance to express yourself. But just by getting a pen and paper and just writing thoughts, you know, I'll sit there with a diary in front of me in the morning and I'll just write a page of what I'm thinking. You know, this is how the day is going. This is what I've got planned for the day. This is something that I'm reflecting on, perhaps a feeling, an emotion that has occurred to me in the last 24 hours or whatever, something that's causing me anxiety about the future. Just write about anything. And by just expressing yourself in that manner can really help. Expressing yourself with others is obviously really important. Expressing some sort of level of creativity, you know, without feeling that you're going to be judged or shamed by what your creative process. Don't worry about that. Just go out there and paint a picture or sing a song or do something that allows you to just release that innate creativity within you, allow to you to express yourself on a higher level. The next one I really believe is really important for all of us is contribution. Sometimes the trapping of the self is what leads us to this state of depression, and we're just so focused on the self and so consumed by this ego, and it can be really trapping. But if we can look at our suffering and go, well, it's not just me, this suffering is not just about me, it's about everyone. It's about our united connectivity among the human population, and that other people are suffering this as well. And so we can sort of not replace, and I just had this great chat with the guy that sort of cleared this up for me. It's not about replacing self with other, it's about keeping them both combined. You know, the self is other. We are all together, we are all united, and we all, as he said, come from the same stardust. So I think, you know, just really understanding that, and then, you know, in understanding that, perhaps then your suffering won't be so internal and will be more external and more connected to everyone else's suffering. And try and connect with that. And that might just give you a little bit of release, you know. Rather than making it about the small self, make it about the big self, the compassionate self, the one self that is like everyone else, that can certainly experience the same levels of suffering that any other life form can experience. And once you understand that, then you can perhaps better go out there and really contribute to others. There's plenty of other people. Sometimes, and he said this, he actually said, sometimes our suffering is the best way, is the power that we have to really help others. So perhaps you can take that and use that to really help others. And by just contributing, it does again take your attention away from yourself to others and others' suffering. And that innate level of compassion can then shine and rise, and that can really, in being empathetic towards others, can help you be empathetic towards yourself, if that makes sense. So I think contribution is really important. And it's not about, you know, giving money to charities or anything like that. It's just about going out there and doing some good work, maybe in the community, maybe helping out like I used to do with the Lions Club sausages. I used to go out there on a Saturday morning when I could and just sell sausages. It was really nice. And sometimes I was like, oh, it's just a bit of an inconvenience. But once I got out there and got into it, I just loved it. It fired me up. It gave me good feelings. And I know that's hard to sometimes do. it's just taking that first step sometimes, isn't it? It's really, you know, just saying, you know, screw it, I'm just going to do it, I'm going to push through with it, counting down. I used to go, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And then as soon as you're in that momentum, you know, on that jog, in that car, on the way to that appointment, whatever it might be, as soon as you're in that momentum, it's hard to stop it. And once you finish it, it feels good. And that's what it's all about. It's just about going over that first step sometimes. And I think that's, for a lot of instances in my life, I can safely say that's all it takes. And the last one is significance, self-importance, you know, a sense of belonging. I think these are all very important. And I can tell you now that you do belong, and you belong in your own individual way, and you don't need to belong in ways that aren't, you know, authentic, that aren't who you are. You know, there's plenty of people out there that are very much like-minded, they're very similar to you. And sometimes I think we feel we don't have significance because we're trying to be someone that we're not. And again, this goes back to expression, partly, you know, just being our creative, expressive selves. And then looking for those circles that allow us to express that, allow us to really develop that sense of self-significance, because we are all significant. So I think all human life, all sentient beings have a level of significance that is beautiful and worthy of being here. And we just have to connect with that significance. And sometimes that is just about being, you know, belonging, and obviously belonging to the right groups of people as well. And that might just mean, you know, looking at, well, how am I significant? What am I good at? You know, and it's hard, again, I know, to get your head around that if you're in a deeper state of depression, because often you just say, I'm good at nothing. I'm just useless. I'm worthyless. You know, I just don't have any good abilities or anything that people care about. That's bullshit. You do have something, and there's things in your life that have happened, that have happened to no one else, that you can share, that you can talk about, that make you different. And I think it's just about finding those like-minded people that you connect with that allow you to really just work into that deeper sense of significance that you already have within you. And then from there, you can build on it. So, guys, this has really been a long episode, but there you go. It's I think it's a really important conversation. Those six life principles, I've touched on them briefly. I've touched on a lot of other different things as well. Guys, if you do have a little bit of depression in your life, or a lot of depression, I don't know how I can help, but I'd love to help. So if you want to connect with me, you can online, confidentially, of course. And I'd be open to having a chat with you, seriously, because I want to help people as much as I can. Absolutely no obligations. If you are out there listening to this and you've had depression in your life, or suffering depression, or perhaps know someone that is, or you want to just have a chat about this, the online forum is for that. So comments there, share your comments. Let's have this conversation and let's see where it takes us. You can jump online there as well. So that'd be awesome. Other than that, guys, thank you for tuning into this episode. Thank you for your time today. I hope you have found some value in this, and I hope you have been inspired to go away and perhaps have some more conversations about this topic that is a serious one, so we can all work together to reduce it and reduce the impact that it has in our societies, among our young people, among our older people, among life as we know it. So that's it, guys. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, guys and girls. That is my solo rant for this week. Guys, I really hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've received some value. Guys, it is my goal, it's my wish that each of these episodes that I do, you are left feeling a little bit more inspired, perhaps even a little bit more educated. I want to really share with you my thoughts, my perspectives, the things that I'm learning, perhaps even some tools and practices that can help you transition from a life with unease, a life that is sufferable, a life that is maybe filled with hate or regret, to a life that is beautiful, a life that has a deeper sense of joy and happiness present at each moment, regardless of the pleasure or pain that you might be experiencing in that given moment. Guys, if you love The Hidden Why, if you love what I'm doing here, you can support the show in a number of different ways. Firstly, you can subscribe to the podcast and subscribe to my newsletter at thehiddenwhy.com. If you have the time and haven't already, you can leave us a review on iTunes. It's a 1-5-star review with a quick comment. You can also connect with me, guys. I love your feedback. I love your suggestions. I love your comments. So connect with me at thehiddenwhy.com. You can leave comments in any of the show notes that you listen to there. You can also reach me directly through my email address and in any of the social media platforms available there. You can also support the show by using the Amazon links within each of the show notes. And that does help support the show. Guys, that's really it. Other than that, go out there, breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose. And in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. You will discover a life with greater meaning, freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Thank you.